for somebody, especially somebody who has everything. I mean, what do you buy for the person that has everything? Oftentimes, we don't know what someone's going to wear, what their style is, what their size is. And so, well, we kind of cheat. And the way we cheat is we buy that little flat piece of plastic, that gift card to whatever their favorite store is or your favorite store is. And because we can't figure it out, well, we'll just get them a gift card. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving a gift card, but I just always chuckle at that because I think it's kind of cheating come Christmas time or come giving a gift. And so we pass that card along to that person. And we put time and effort and thought processes into the person for the right gift that's meant just for them, just for them. And then there's my dad. There's my dad who, for years, the running joke through the family was he would wait till Christmas Eve to shop for my mom. And the good news was that Meijer was open on Christmas Eve. And because Meijer was open on Christmas Eve, my dad could wait till the last minute, go in there, and get exactly what he thought my mom needed. Now, my mom always wondered what she was going to get on Christmas from Meijer. And that was the joke of the kids in the house, is that we were wondering what dad had gotten my mom from Meijer, because my mom did all the other shopping, and of course, Santa Claus filled in the gaps with what he brought as well. But when we give a gift, or when you receive a gift, you believe that someone had you in mind. When you receive a gift, you feel important. You feel a sense of significance. You feel thought of. You know, the heart in the gift giving, after all, is the thought that counts. And when we give gifts, we say it's the thought that counts, which basically reminds us that someone has thought about us, that people care for us, that we're, well, favored. And I want to talk to you today about the idea that at Christmas, we are shown God's favor. Christmas is a time where God shows us His favor. You serve a God who has you in mind. You serve a God who has His creation in mind. Every need, every desire, every challenge. And what we see in the perfect gift of salvation is we see what Christ has bought for us. That's right, what He's gifted us. You know, oftentimes when you go to buy a gift, you have to pay a price. Whether it's on the internet, you have to pay through PayPal or credit card, you have to pay a price. When you go in the store, you have to pay a price for that gift. In order to take that gift out and in order to redeem that gift, you have to pay a price. And when Christ died on the cross, when God gave you the greatest gift of all in Christ, He paid a price. He paid a price for you because freedom is never free. And Christ set you free, and He paid the ultimate price. And so He's a gift giver. He paid a price. He purchased that package off the shelf, and He sent you His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And in doing so, it says that you're thought of. In doing so, it says that you're loved. In doing so, it says that you're highly favored. Consider what the angel said to Mary, not once, but twice, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You who are highly favored." Today, you need to realize, if nothing else, that you are highly favored. I mean, I think we need to hear that God loves you. And by the fact that He sent you His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, we can know that we're favored. It is the sure sign that God favors us, He cares for us, and He loves us. In fact, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, did you know that you're favored?" You say that you're favored. All right, I don't hear, it's not loud enough. You need to turn to your other neighbor and say, "You are favored." And I pray today that raises you up. It lifts your spirits for this reality. You have been saved by Jesus Christ if you said yes to Him. And just as God promised Mary, God's presence is with you. And with God's presence brings the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we know God's favor. He says to the world, "You're favored. You matter because I'm bringing you salvation." And Christmas is about the favor of God on all of us because of His great presence. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, it says, "But the angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord.'" You see, God has the gift for the person who has everything. Remember we talked about how difficult that is? It's difficult to shop for that person that has everything. Well, God has it covered because we all need to be saved. We all need a Savior. And so God has a gift for that person too. Every single one of us needs salvation in our life. Now, some of us say, "But not me." Think about it for a second. If God if God went through all of this trouble, why wouldn't all of us need to be saved? In other words, God wouldn't have gone through all the trouble of sending his one and only son, of sacrificing his son on the cross through pain and death. He wouldn't have done that if we didn't need saving. Did you know that 90% of the people in this world pray? 90% of the people in this world are seeking a greater power, seeking something beyond themselves for them to be rescued, for them to be rescued out of their heartaches and struggles and trials. And sadly, when we look for salvation, we turn to the bottle, or we turn to a hurt habit or hang up or an addiction, or we turn to relationships, or we turn to money for our salvation, we turn to stuff or purchases or presents, we turn to power, we turn to seek more control over whatever our challenges are in order to find salvation in our life. And none of that works, and it winds up making our life even a bigger mess. We can't do it on our own. We try to, but we can't. And if your life and if what you're doing is not working, let's turn to Jesus Christ for salvation this Christmas. Amen. Let's turn to Jesus Christ this Christmas for salvation. I love the Christmas Carol, that story. But my favorite version is the George C. Scott movie version. You just watched that with the family yesterday. And you realize that everybody needs saved. Even the most crotchety and the most angry and the most ornery person eventually comes to the point where they realize, hey, listen, I need to be changed. I need to have an attitude check. I need to discover a new and a fresh life. And those three angels that come to visit him capture that moment for him that we all need to be saved. We long to be saved. The idea tugs at our very heartstrings. I mean, just look at the movies, a movie like I just named. A Christmas Carol, a story of redemption, a story of salvation. Look at the television shows and the books. People constantly in need that are being rescued up out of their trials or their circumstances or their difficulties. I mean, consider the Christmas story. You have shepherds who rush off once they have the great news that Jesus Christ has been born. They can't wait to go experience the birth of salvation. You have three kings that travel from across a great distance just to get to see this Christ child, to experience what? To experience salvation. We long for it. The people of the Christmas story long for it. I mean, we long to be rescued and saved up out of our lives and our circumstances. You remember commercials like Calgon? What was the Calgon phrase? Calgon, take me away. Take me away. How about Southwest Airlines? You want to get away? Southwest Airlines, do you want to get away? How about McDonald's, one of their old jingles? You deserve a break today. A break from what? Well, your challenges, your trials, from life, from the difficulties that you have. These are all concepts that we desire. We long to be saved. We long to be rescued. We love the idea of being saved from life's challenges and pains. But that's where it kind of gets us in trouble, because we kind of box God in, because we have this specific picture of how we should be saved. We have certain expectations. Well, just like the Israelites did several thousand years ago. The Israelites expected a Messiah to come and rescue them from their enemies. They expected a strong king riding on a horse with armies and legions of people behind him. The hand of God to come and down and sweep over its enemies in a show of power to obliterate all their trials and challenges, to rescue them up out of slavery. They expected a superhero to come and save them. They expected a Rambo or a Chuck Norris or Optimus Prime or maybe even Iron Man to just come and just make everything all better and to obliterate all of their challenges. I mean, why wouldn't they think that? Consider an Old Testament prophecy that said in Isaiah chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." So imagine, to their surprise, when this baby was born in the flesh, fully God and fully human, yet lived in humility, yet experienced all the infirmities and challenges of a human body, was mocked and been beaten and murdered and died on the cross. This is not a superhero. This is somebody who come and laid down their life. This was someone who didn't come with legions of armies to remove them from their circumstances. I imagine a lot of the Israelites were feeling, hey, this isn't the saving that we need. This isn't the saving that we need. And I think a lot of us today feel the same. A lot of us here today feel the same. Maybe not any of us in here, but all the people outside of this room probably feel that today. But I believe we do feel this. We do believe that we ought to be rescued up out of our circumstances. If I'm not saved from my circumstances, then God says he loves me and God came to save me. Then why is this still happening to me? Those are questions we ask all the time. Why am I still living in pain? Why do I have to deal with cancer? Why do I have to battle apron syndrome or whatever our challenges are? Why do I still have enemies in my life? Why does this suffering have to come into my life? Why can't I have this removed from me? And so today, for the rest of the message, I'd love to cover with you three concepts about how Jesus is our Savior. Three ways Jesus is our Savior. And number one, here it is. Jesus came to save you from yourself. Jesus came to save you from yourself. Now, I want to share this with you. And I think a lot of us might balk at this. But if we're honest, we might be able to say, you know what, this is true. We are our own worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies. Our issues need saved, not from external things, but from internal things. Let me say that again. The issues that we need to be saved from are not external issues. They are internal issues. Internal issues of attitude and pride, of our desire to be our own boss, to do our own thing, to what to live how we want. And the Bible names it in Romans by Paul. Paul writes this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's an internal problem he's talking about. And it doesn't leave anybody exempt. This includes every single person. It includes everybody, even the person that it's hardest to buy a gift for. That's why everybody needs to be saved. We all need this in our life. It is an internal problem. And when we ignore God and lead our own life or try to lead our own life, the Bible calls that attitude sin. And all of us have done this. All of us have a list of stuff that we've done that we shouldn't have or not done that we shouldn't or that we should have been doing. And most problems, if we're honest, most of our problems are self-inflicted problems because of the way we think or the way that we act or the way that we live, guided by our underlying self-focus and self-righteousness, where the world kind of revolves around us and our needs, and yet a reality that we can't save ourselves, even though we try to on a daily basis. And then when life comes, when it doesn't feel right, when life doesn't feel right, we blame it on the stuff out there. We blame it on the happenings and the circumstances of our life. And what we need saved from most is the sin in our heart, because external struggles do not separate us from God. I want you to hear that for a second. External struggles do not separate us from God. It's the struggles on the inside that do. Consider what it says in Isaiah. The Bible says, "Your sins are the roadblock between you and your God." Not something out there, but something in here. That's why he doesn't answer your prayers or let you see his face. It is the prideful sin that separates us from God. It becomes a barricade between us and God. That's the gravest issue that someone could ever have in their life, is to have this separation from God because of what's going on the inside. And when stuff happens in our life, when challenges come, circumstances happen, and we pray to God, and in that process, we feel like our prayers are hitting the ceiling. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, we have challenges and we pray and we don't get an answer that we want. And we feel like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. And maybe they are, because our greatest trouble is in here, not out there. And until we allow God to save us in here, we're never going to feel like we're being saved out there. God's never going to give us a fresh and renewed and revived perspective on our life and our trials, because we haven't allowed him to enter into our life and save us from our sins. He came to save us from ourselves. He came to save us from ourselves. And I pray that that offers a fresh perspective on how we deal with God and the challenges that are going on all around us on the outside. Number two, not only number one did Jesus come to save you from yourself, Jesus came to save you for something. You see, God and Jesus Christ didn't just come to save you from things. Jesus came to save you for things. He came to save you for something. He sent Jesus Christ not just to give you a safe, comfortable life, not just to keep your life a bed of roses and to protect you from challenges and trials. You are created for a reason and a purpose. Hear that now. You are created for something, not just from something. We're not just here to exist and to try to be safe. God has a purpose for you. Consider what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God saved you in order to gift you so that he could purpose you, because he's called you to do his great work here on earth. He has an incredible plan for you. His plan for you was to save you, but to save you more than just to rescue you, for you to be able to live out every single day for him and his purposes. I love this verse in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 11. And we're going to read it to you in a slightly different version. It's going to be read to you out of the Message translation, and or the Message version. And would love to have you just maybe underline this and highlight this. It's in your notes and it's up on the screen. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Did you know that every human being is on an all-out search to figure out who they are and what they're living for? Did you know that there's people out there in television shows that are making millions of dollars trying to provide answers to this question, who we are and what we're living for? Did you know that there have been books that have been written to discover the new you or to discover yourself? And the way that we figure out who we are and what we're living for is to go deeper inside of ourselves. That's at least the word, to find ourselves. We need to go on a vacation or a trip. We need to get lost in ourselves and go deeper inside of our hearts, and then we'll discover who our true selves are. But God is saying in Christ, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for, and in no place else. Let that sink in today. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. We long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. In other words, God is showing you his favor. He had designs on us for glorious and incredible living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. The Bible uses language like he has designs for you. He has an overall purpose, by the way, that he's working out in you and for you. Therefore, you are highly favored to live for him. You are saved not just from something, but God opens our eyes to a new design for us, to have a whole new outlook on life, to realize that we've been saved for something. You know, many of us find ourselves in one of three categories. And the first is that around the world, there's a lot of third world and fourth world countries where people are just in survival mode. And we're hopefully going to bless some of those places with our Advent conspiracy, places like the Congo, places like Haiti and Africa. And those people find themselves in survival mode. Survival mode, people are just trying to make it. They're trying to survive. They're trying to live. They're living in hunger and living in poverty, maybe surrounded by disasters or natural disasters or wars or famine or whatever it might be. And those people are living in survival mode. But then most of us in this room, we find ourselves in success mode. Success mode is, well, we have a job, we have a family, we have some toys, we may be going on vacation from now, for time and again. And there's just maybe no lasting satisfaction there. We just continue to have stuff and live into stuff, and we find this empty feeling, and we feel like we're put on earth for more than what we have been. Well, the truth is you have been. You've been put on this earth for more than just these things. You have been meant for a life of the third thing, of significance. You have survival mode, success mode, and we have been put on this earth for a life of significance, to make a difference in other people's lives for the kingdom of God. You have been saved not just from something, you have been saved for something, and God wants you to live that out according to his purposes so that you can be a blessing to other people. And that's what Christmas time is about. It's not just about receiving the gifts and the blessings and the graces of God in our life, but it's about realizing that God wants us to share those things that he gives us through us to other people. You see, we have tried everything else in our life and we still feel empty. This Christmas, let's try Jesus. Let's try Jesus. So Jesus came to save you from yourself. Number two, Jesus came to save you for something. And number three, Jesus came to save you by his grace. Jesus came to save you by his grace. As an act of humility, he saved us. Not as an act of force. Jesus came and laid his life down for us. He wasn't somebody who came to take lives. He was somebody who came to lay down his life. Think about this for a second. When he could have obliterated everybody, and deservingly so because we've turned our backs on God, rather than that, Jesus came and laid his life down for us. He didn't bring an army to destroy people. He brought himself to offer himself as a sacrifice. Now, he had the power to off everybody. He had the power to end everyone's lives. But instead, he willingly offered up his life. He willingly died for us. He willingly died for us. And quite honestly, we deserved it. We deserved it. In Ephesians 2:8, it says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is the gift of God. That's what grace is. That's what a relationship with God is. It's a gift. That's what Jesus came to give us with his presence, the Christmas presence of God in Jesus Christ. And in that presence, we've been given a gift of grace. Grace and salvation, salvation and grace, those two things go hand in hand. It is the gracious nature that instead of offering us death, God sent his Son, the perfect sacrifice, to take our place, to stand in line for us, to take death into his hands, and to set us free. And that's why grace is a gift. It is unmerited favor. We've been given what we haven't deserved, and Jesus was given what he didn't deserve. He, therefore, is our Savior. And grace is a gift resulting in God's Christmas presence in Jesus Christ. And this is why we give gifts at Christmas time. This is because we celebrate God, the great gift giver, and the greatest gift that we could ever give. The greatest gift that we could ever receive is the gift of the gracious presence of God, the presence of salvation. It is a gift for all of humankind. And Christmas is all about the presence, the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, of good news. We talked about that last week. And if you've missed that, you can get on the internet or you can grab a CD of that out of the Welcome Center. It is about the gift of good news, but it is also about the gift of God's favor and his love and his grace for us in salvation, that he came to save us from ourselves, that we have been saved not just from things, but he came to save us for a purpose, and he has come to save us by his grace. There's nothing we need do. There's nothing we can do. God paid the ultimate price. He purchased our salvation by sacrificing his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's the greatest sacrifice ever offered for humankind, for all of humankind. And he did this for you and for me. And so this Christmas, when you're thinking about what you want, when you're thinking about what to get other people, think about the greatest gift that we could ever give or receive, the gift of a Savior and the gift of grace. Maybe it's time this season also, as we take in the salvation of God and the gift of grace, to realize that it's time for us to extend a grace to somebody else or to someone else. Christmas is the perfect time of year to think of people that we need to reconcile with, relationships that we need to offer grace to, or challenges that might come our way this week where we just need to be a little bit extra gracious with somebody. This is an opportunity to realize that God came to save us. So here's three action steps for you. Number one, realize your problems are not on the outside, but they are on the inside. This is a simple but huge concept. Realize your greatest challenges is yourself, and it happens on the inside. And it's not necessarily the stuff going on out there, it's the stuff going on in here. And when we allow God to save us in here, then all of a sudden we can see how God is working out there. But until God gives us a fresh set of eyes inside of our hearts, we may never understand all the challenges and the struggles that we have going on out there. Or we may have a bitter perspective, or we may have an angry perspective about those things. And because we're missing out on God's great plan of salvation on the inside. Number two, receive the free gift of grace of Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day. Don't put it off for another day. Don't put it off for another Christmas. Let this day be this day. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, do it today. Offer forgiveness to God. Offer repentance to God by saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I've messed up. I need you in my life. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I believe in you, and I believe in what you've done. Lord, enter into my life. And if you pray that, God will. That's the promise of Scripture. Come into my life, Lord, and save me. Maybe today is the day for you to receive the free gift of God's grace. And third and finally, live out your purpose by blessing others through Advent Conspiracy. One of the ways to dispense grace to others is by helping those who are truly in need. By spending less on ourselves and, well, spending less on people who have everything and you're trying to figure out what to buy for them. One of the things my family's doing is we're getting a hold of these gift cards back here for the Advent Conspiracy, and we're going to give the gift of a bed net in someone's name and give that as a gift, because we're going to save a life, or give a gift towards a house for Haiti, or a mattress or a bed for the Kamina Children's Home in the Congo. Let's think about giving above and beyond our normal tithes, above and beyond our normal giving, and make a sacrifice of what we would normally spend, and spend less and give to those who are truly in need. When we live into those moments, we will truly discover the presence of God in Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation for you and for me. Praise be to God.
Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to remember in this crazy life that God really did create us for a purpose. Sometimes we get caught up in all the things that get thrown our way, and we forget that there is more to our life than we usually settle for. And I think that's the message we hopefully are going to leave with today. And maybe you believe a little bit in your heart what John's saying, that there is more to your life than what you know right now, but you aren't sure what your next step should be to find out those answers of where God's leading you. Well, we want to help you on that journey. As you pull out your connection card from your bulletin and complete the contact information in the front, along with your text cell phone number and cell phone provider, we want to draw your attention to several things listed on the back of the card. One of the ways that you can find out your next step with God is by coming to Get to Know Rolling Plains lunch today after our 11 o'clock service. We would love to come and feed you wonderful lasagna, which I'm sure you can smell cooking already, get a chance to know you better and give you a chance to know a little bit more about the church and how we can help you on your journey. Maybe you've already decided that you want to take more of a committed step to learning more about God and about the church and about what your future is with God. We have a class called Starting Point that's going to be beginning in January. This is our first step to membership. It is also a way for you to get connected to a smaller group of people here at Rolling Plains who are in the same point of their journey as you are. You can learn more about God in the Bible, hear other people's stories of how God has changed their lives and how he's hoping to change yours. We also have a Shape class beginning in January. And in that class, we're talking about all the things John talked about today, that God made you with a unique design, a special purpose, and a great plan in his great plan in this world, and that you are needed and have great value. If you come and take Shape in January, we want to help you find what your next step and your purpose and the reason God created you so that you can begin living that out in your own life. We also have the opportunity for you to find some financial freedom in your life. Our financial peace class has begun, but it's not too late to get involved. You can indicate any of those things on the back of the card. The ushers are going to come forward and collect God's tithes and our gifts. If you're a first-time visitor with us, we're so glad you're here. Please feel free to let the basket pass you by, but make sure to stop at a table at the back of the sanctuary so we can send you home with a gift. We're going to include our connection cards in the basket.
Of your